So, first of all, I'm going to talk about trademarks. And we have trademarks here. Side Business School has a trademark. Trademarks are important to all businesses. In fact, for some businesses, they're probably the most important things that they have. What is a trademark? Well, originally, the very simple idea of a trademark was it was an indication of origin. So if you bought products that you were thought were good, or you've gone to a shop which provided good service, etc., you want to be able to go there again. You also want to be able to tell other people to go there. And the business wants you to tell other people to go there too. So it's an indication of origin. It's a way of identifying the goods or services you're providing in a way where that people can show, can identify where they've come from. They're most useful, trademarks, I would say, to establish businesses. If you don't have any reputation at all, a trademark really isn't very valuable because you don't have any customers, nobody needs to know where to go. But established businesses find trademarks very, very important. And even companies which their main business is based upon selling things cheaply, in vast volumes, with perhaps marginal over marginal profits, but very big turnovers. Perhaps take Lidl or Aldi, which sell very good products but sell them very cheaply. That they're not really providing anything new in the type of products they're selling. They're selling pretty standard products. But people want to go back. So even they need to have a trademark that identifies the origin of the goods they're selling. So what is a trademark? It's a sign which is capable of being represented graphically and capable of distinguishing goods or services of a particular person. So that's Aldi or whatever. You don't have to actually know who they are. But what you do need to know is that this product comes from this person or this business. It's got to be something recognisable. What can't be registered as a trademark? Well, it can't be registered as a trademark if it can't be represented in a graphical form. That means you write it down, something that's visible. And that is not as limited as you might think, because it's possible to have trademarks which are smells, which are videos, music, as long as you can describe them in some sort of graphical way, then you can protect it. You're not allowed to register all trademarks. If there's a mark already on the register with which it conflicts, then you're not allowed to have a second one for the second registration for the same thing, unless, of course, it's the same proprietor, the same applicant. It mustn't be descriptive. So if I'm selling sweets, I can't call them minty or whatever, because it's descriptive of the sweet. It's got to be something which actually identifies the product in a way which distinguishes it from other products. I can't actually use the shape of the product as a trademark. And a classic case of that is the Coca-Cola bottle. And Coca-Cola tried very hard to register the shape of their bottle as a trademark. The court said, no, you can't. You're basically trying to get a monopoly in your bottle, in your product, through the trademark system. That's not the way you should be doing it. You're getting it through the design system, whatever. And you can't have it. So the Coca-Cola bottle is not a registered trademark. There's no point having any sort of intellectual property protection unless you can enforce it. And in the case of trademarks, you have to establish various things. You have to show that the use of the competitor of which you're complaining was used in the course of trade. That means they're actually in business. If you're just using it theoretically, it's not in the course of trade. It has to be without the consent of the proprietor. And it has to be in relation to the goods for which the mark is registered. So if I have a registration for baked beans, that doesn't, on the face of it, cover use of the mark in relation to lemonade. That is the starting position. There are some other provisions which say, well, if you use it in relation to similar goods, and you may be able to argue that lemonade was similar in some way to another product. You might also be able to stop people using a similar mark in relation to similar goods. But the more you get away from the original registration, the more difficult it is to establish your case. But quite broad protection. So it will protect you from people using marks similar to yours and also using marks which are similar to yours on goods which are similar to those for which the mark is registered. And you have to register the mark in relation to particular goods or services or classes of goods or services. Just mentioned very briefly, there are other trademark registrations which are so famous that almost any use of those marks which is detrimental or is unfair may get you into trouble. And, you know, I suppose it might be said OXO, we all know about OXO. Maybe that's a very famous trademark. Apple, very new trademark in some ways. Almost any use of that Apple symbol on goods of any description probably may get you into trouble. Perhaps give you just one example of a similar mark. The Coca-Cola company, again, sued people in Scotland who were selling a product called Koala Cola. And you might have thought that that wasn't very similar. But if you're Scottish, you don't say Koala Cola. I'm talking about koala, which is the creature that lives in Australia. They'd probably say Koala Cola. And when they said Coca-Cola, they'd probably say Koala. So the two were very similar. But they weren't similar enough, and Coca-Cola couldn't stop that. It's not the end of the world if you can't get a trademark registration. There is the law will prevent people from deceiving other people, deceiving customers in the course of their business, even if you haven't got a trademark registration. If you can show that you've got goodwill, this is in the sense of an asset in the business, an established business, and a reputation. People know who you are. If you sell fish, they know your shop, they know your name. Now, if somebody else tries to pretend that they are providing your goods or they're operating your business dishonestly, then you may be able to stop them. But you have to show you've got a reputation. You have to show that if you've got a business in the UK, and you have to show that customers have been deceived. A classic example of this was the Jif Lemon case. I'm sure some of you may be familiar with this. The Jif Lemon was actually a little plastic lemon containing lemon juice. And it was very popular at certain times of the year. There was nothing special about the lemon juice. It was just ordinary lemon juice in a little plastic container that looked like a lemon. Another company in America came out with a product which looked very similar. Not the same shape of lemon, a bit bigger, but still a plastic lemon. And but people who owned the Jif product, who were called Reckitt & Coleman, objected to this product on the market. They said that it was being used to deceive customers, and they carried out some market research. They put the competitors' plastic lemons on a shelf in the shop, and when people picked it up and took it to the checkout, they asked them what they had bought. And a large number of them said they had bought a Jif lemon. So, Reckitt and Coleman said, these customers are being deceived. They wanted to buy a Jif lemon, but they bought something else and they didn't realise it. And the court said that these things are a matter of fact and they should be allowed to stop people selling goods in a form which deceives the customer, and it can be quite trivial. And that was a misrepresentation as to the origin of the goods. But there can also be other types of misrepresentation, which could be in relation to quality. And one example some years ago was that there's a company called Spalding, which makes sporting goods. They sold tennis balls, and some of them weren't, you know, were seconds. They weren't perfect. So they sold them off cheaply, and they were marked as seconds. However, a shop purchased a large quantity of these second-rate tennis balls and sold them as the real thing. Now, there was no misrepresentation as the origin of the product. They all came from Spalding. There's no suggestion otherwise. But there was a representation that the product was perfect, was first class. And that, people played with it, no doubt some of them burst or whatever, and it damaged the reputation of Spalding. So any sort of misrepresentation in the course of business can cause problems.